Thank you. Join us together. Father, let's just pause here for a moment and let you fill us up in preparation. We are here in your house this morning. I can't think of any place else to be. We are here in your house this morning where we can let go of the world. We can shake it off for a moment. We can settle down here and just be in spirit with each other, in tune with the Holy Spirit, filling up that we might go back out there and shine the light of Jesus yet again. Father, thank you. Thank you for the gifts that you have given us, for the weather that you have given us, the way that the world has changed. And while we don't see leaves on a tree, it doesn't stop the artwork. We see great distances now in the clear air, and we see the mountains and the valleys and the splendor that you have given us. Thank you. Father, we're in prayer for those around us whose lives we can touch, our co-workers, the people that we're with every day. We pray that you would lift them up. Our family, our friends, we ask that you move mightily in Brian. We ask, Father, and because we have, we know you will. We pray a special prayer for Brother Charles, so many thousands of miles away, doing the work of your hand, fighting off great struggles, and now racked with fever, Father. We ask that you lift him up. We continue to pray for the Philippines. Just because it was a couple of weeks ago, it ain't over. That food, that shelter, that provisions would find their way, that a time of healing would get underway for the tornado victims, Father. And right here at home for the Ott family, who lost mother and father so quickly, so tragically. We pray for Mita's niece, this surgery would go well and that she would be strengthened, Father. We pray for our own missionaries, not just Brother Charles, but David and Fran, who are finishing up work this month, that will go on toward pushing that gospel further out. And we pray a protection over them as well, Father. We pray that they be found in safety and in your care. We pray for Leonard and Hannah. And we're thankful for those that have come to visit. We pray your traveling mercy upon them as they go and come. And Father, we're blessed with music. We're blessed with hearing sounds that you created. We're blessed with hymns that we get to sing for the next several weeks. Thank you. And Father, we ask that you would be with those prayers that have been too heavy to speak out. Those that are written down in the prayer box, those that are just a simple moment between you and that child. We ask, Father, that you would bind us together, that you would bring us ever closer in one heart and one mind, praying the way that your Son Jesus taught us, and thankful we are for that. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. open your Bibles up. Of course it's that time of year. Of course we're going to start talking about one of the greatest stories ever. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. For the sermon titled, Open the Distance. I was listening to a bunch of different things this week. And of course I'm having a lot of fun because this is the time of year that I'm pretty sure that most normal people settle in for the Christmas and the abnormal people don't. And I heard a joke, and I have to share it because the atheists are trying to put out the bulletin boards that God is dead, that Christmas never happened. They're running things on the television set that the disciples were never really with Jesus, that he wasn't born the way he was. And of course, that gets me even stirred up more. And I heard a story about a little girl in school whose teacher wanted them to draw pictures. And so she drew a picture of God. And the teacher was mad about that. She said, you can't draw that because there is no God. She goes, how do you know that you believe in God? And the little girl said, well, my grandparents believe. And so did their parents. And my mommy and daddy believe. And so I guess I believe. I've read the Bible and I believe. That makes me a Christian. And she goes, well, what would you call someone who didn't believe and their grandparents didn't believe? What would you say to them? And she'd say, well, I would hope they would soon believe. And she would say, well, what happens, little girl, if you pass from this earth? What happens if when we get away from this planet, we find out that there is no God? What happens if all of you wind up in hell that don't believe in God? And the little girl said, well, I don't know, but you can ask them yourself. You'll have to think about that one for a while. I'm getting so fed up with hearing about that we should stop celebrating Christmas, that we should stop this, that we put too much emphasis on this holiday. Well, I got good news for you. Here in this church, we're going to put twice the emphasis on it. Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 38. Then a sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town of Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. And he will be called great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be true? Mary asked the angel. Since I am a virgin, the angel answered. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Verse 38, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said. And the angel left her. May God add his blessings to this passage. Let us seek him in prayer. Father, open our hearts and our minds to receive this message. These words are yours, not mine. Let them be for us to cling to hold on to go away from here strengthened, Father, ready to meet the world and continue to proclaim the good news of Jesus, especially in this season. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. In his name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Several years ago, I made a trip from Myersville, Maryland, out to Kansas to buy a trailer. Now, this was just after the boys had been born. I bought an equipment trailer way out in Kansas. And when I talked to the company about it, they told me that they were going to charge me half again the price of the trailer to deliver it to Maryland. I said, well, that ain't going to do. I know how to drive. I got my calculator out and I punched it all out and I figured at this speed, at this mileage, at this miles per hour, it'll take me this long, I'll burn this much gas, I'll spend this much in food, I won't stay in hotels, I'll just sleep in the truck, and I can do this trip in 4 days. That's 1,200 miles alone. And I sat down and figured it up, and when I came up with the price was under $1,000. I said, well, I'm going to go to Kansas. And so on a Sunday evening, I packed up a cooler, I packed up a gym bag, checked out the truck, got everything ready to go, kissed Wendy goodbye, slammed that thing into gear, turned the bluegrass up full volume, and out the road I went, headed for Kansas. How many people in this room have ever been across the country to Kansas? Why? Let me tell you about that trip. Going across Maryland was fun because there was stuff to see. Going across West Virginia, Ohio was great. The first night I finally found a place and I slept for about 2 hours until the state trooper woke me up and told me I had to keep driving. I wasn't allowed to sleep on the ramp. I kept on going. I drove and I rode through Ohio, and they were building a great big superhighway out there at that time, and they had big pieces of equipment building that. So I slowed down a little bit. I stopped and took pictures of them because that fascinates me. I kept on driving. Next thing you know, I'm in Indiana, Illinois. I'm like, yeah, boy, I'm making time. Come on, Kansas. Get my trailer and get me home. And then I hit the Kansas border and everything disappeared. And Kansas is flat. And I don't mean flat. I mean flat. I mean, I looked at it across there and I was like, where in the world am I? Am I in the same country? Have you ever driven across Kansas? There's nothing. And I'm a guy who likes a lot of nothing. That's more than I like. I drove and drove, and I started to become nuts, more so than normal. I was driving forever, and I wasn't getting anywhere. And so I said, well, I'm going to play a game. I'm going to pick a point, and I'm going to drive to a point. In Kansas, you cannot do that. There is no points in Kansas. It's flat. I saw a tree. I'm driving along, and I said, way off in the distance, I saw a tree. Now, in the state of Maryland, if you see a tree that big off in the distance, in a short period of time, you'll pass that tree. Not in Kansas. Off in the distance as I drove, that tree didn't get any bigger. I kept thinking, you know, I'm not a coffee drinker, so maybe I ought to stop and get a cup of coffee somewhere along the way. Well, guess what? There ain't none. There's nothing there. I kept looking at this tree, and the more I'd look at that tree, I'd be like, that thing is not getting any closer. I actually looked out the window to make sure the truck was still moving. And then something started to happen. As I would look at that tree out in the distance, I'd look down at the speedometer and I'd say, hey, I just traveled about 60 miles. I ain't no closer to that tree, but I'm getting closer to the end. So I kept looking for that tree. And finally that tree that was that big was about that big. This is Kansas. I know now why Dorothy left. Driving along. And I reach over in the cooler and I open the cooler up and I take a bite of whatever sandwich I have and I look and that tree is that big and I look down and the miles are cooking off and the sandwich and the miles and the tree and the sandwich. And the next thing I know, I'm at my exit. Off in the distance, I looked ahead to see what was coming. And it was the promise that I was going to get where I was going. Sad part about this whole story is I had to drive back out of Kansas. And there wasn't no tree going now. I kept looking in the rearview mirror going, man, if they just plant one, as long as this state is, by the time I get to where they plant it, it'll already be full grown. Off in the distance, I saw the end. Off in the distance, I began to come to that point that would change things forever. It may seem insignificant that a simple equipment trailer would change things forever, but not in my world. Because with an equipment trailer meant that I can throw the tractors on the trailer and go to the shows myself. It meant I could haul stuff for other people. It meant a new change in direction for me. And off in the distance, as I drove, as I got closer to it, I began to see that there was a point to where I was going. I've often said that my life is pretty near all things mechanical. If it's broke, I pretty much can fix it. If it ain't broke, sometimes when I'm done fixing it, it will be. But my life is guided by mechanical things. I get fascinated by it. Last night, we went to my father's house, and we pressed cider. We took 7 bushels of apples, and we made 5 gallons of cider. That's not a very good ratio. But I run the cider press. Why? Because nobody can do it right. And it's a gadget. And it's mechanical. And whenever somebody would come over to the cider press, and they're over there cutting apples, and they're having a party, and I'm over here just me and the press, and every time somebody would come and say, "Paul, can I run the press?" "No, get over there. Don't touch mine. Mine." But I think about the great inventors that have shaped my influences. You know, we look at history sometimes through the eyes of people who don't get it anymore. They keep changing history along the way. And they keep forgetting that history is what it is. It doesn't change. I watched a program the other night on some of the greatest inventors of our time, and they went through and they tore these people apart. They talked about them being corrupt and ignorant and a whole bunch of other stuff. But the problem is they seem to forget that while they're sitting there on television talking about this, these great inventors changed our life. I wonder if they looked off in the distance for the change. Who are the great ones that influenced me? Henry Ford. He's number one. J.I. Case, number two. Thomas Edison. And a little known man that I'll bet you, if I name him, I'm pretty sure that nobody would know who Richard Trevathick is. Anybody knows that name, put your hand up. Who's Richard Trevathick? Richard, I'm ashamed of you. I figured I'd have you right there in my back pocket. Richard Trevathick invented the steam train. He saw things off in the distance. That's what we are looking at through this scripture. We're looking off in the distance. We're not sure why. We're not sure of the things that are coming, but we're looking off in the distance. If you go back to the scripture, at the beginning of the scripture in my Bible, it says the birth is foretold. Foretold. You know what that means? Off in the distance. I can't stop when this time of season rolls around looking toward the Christmas story. We call it the Christmas story. Maybe we shouldn't be told that. But Mary is being told that off in the distance is coming great things. The angel, first of all, how many people in this room, if an angel walked in your door and started talking to you, would have a whole lot of problems speaking to start with? Me. And I'm not scared of putting near anything, except for my wife, but that's another story. So I had to go back and I had to think about Mary. And I had to remember when things were foretold in my life. Like when I walked in the house one evening, I had a whole great life ahead of me planned out, off in the distance. I walk in a house, I'm married for 3 years, 2 years, 2 years, 2 years. I know how long I've been married. What year is it? 13. I've been married for 13 years. We were married for 2. I walked in the house one night, and she gave me a Father's Day card. In the middle of the summer. In August. What in the world was that thing for? And I opened it up, and the card said, "Get ready for this ride." Off in the distance, I had been foretold that children were coming. And I responded to it like every man ever does. When they first find out their wife's pregnant, what do you say? How'd that happen? Things were not going to be the same. It began a long journey. What's the greatest thing about a long journey? The anticipation of it, the beginning of it. When I was going to go to Kansas, I was excited. I had never been to Kansas. I had never been further than Illinois. I went to Chicago once in the 1980s. As a kid with 4-H, But we flew on a jet there. I'm driving to Kansas. And I was telling people that. And people were looking at me going, really? I was setting up for this trip. I was looking toward the journey. I was excited. We got excited when we found out she was pregnant. Oh boy, we're going to have a baby. And I'm going to teach him all kinds of things. And it's going to be a great thing. And then after a while, the journey starts to get long, don't it? Pretty soon, you're starting to be at that midpoint in the journey going, are we there yet? And I have two children. And we recently drove down to Florida. I'll never know what I was thinking when I did that. Because we've been in the car for an hour. Are we there yet? You know, duct tape is a wonderful invention. But we move through things. We get to the midpoint. And then it's hurry up to the end. We start forgetting about what's off in the distance. Just want to get it done. That's all I could think about. When I crossed in there and started to become bored with the trip, I was like, ah, I wish this thing was over. But then I started to see that there was a point. And when I settled down, quite frankly, I fell in love with the Kansas countryside. Wheat fields, corn fields. There were train tracks. And on occasion, I got to race the diesel locomotives of the Great Union Pacific. And that was a pretty big deal to me. I wanted to hurry up and have the children because, you know, Wendy was driving me crazy, waking me up at all hours of the night, saying things to me, yelling at me for stuff that I really didn't do this time. And then, of course, that point comes. And I'm sure that Mary, if you go back and look at this, Mary had a little trouble understanding what was about to happen. You go back in the scripture. What do we read in verse 34? How will this be? That's a pretty legitimate question. You can't look off in the distance when the angel comes to you and says, hey, God loves you. He's found favor with you. You're going to deliver his son, the Savior of the world. I'm sorry, what? How will this be? It starts off by saying she was troubled that an angel had come to visit her. Yeah. But yet you look off in the distance. And what do we see after she starts to listen? Mary understood it. This is going to be a birth like no other birth anywhere, ever, ever again. A little boy asked his mother where he came from. And so she was looking at him for a minute. Finally, she told him the story of a great, tall, white-feathered stork that had delivered him. He wasn't satisfied with that. So he went out to his grandmother and he said, Grandma, he said, how did I come to be? How was I born? How did I get here? And Grandma said, well, you would come here just like I was, just like your grandparents before me. We were all delivered by the great, beautiful, white-haired stork. Outside, he began to think about it. And he pulled out a pen and paper. Because he had to do a report for school on being born. And he started it by saying, you know, there ain't been a normal birth in my family for four generations. She's about to have a birth like none other. Ever. Anywhere. Ever. And yet she can see it. She has come to that realization of it. But what are we learning? What have we been taught? What do we see? Well, I'll tell you real simple. When you're living and lost in a life of sin, you can't see past the hood of the truck. Amen? You're lost. You can't see beyond here. You can't see nothing when you're struggling in that. And then comes that moment of salvation. Now, I don't know for a lot of you, but I know that for a lot of people, that the moment that salvation comes in, you still don't know what happened. Suddenly you can start to see off in the distance. We're headed for a point. We're headed for a moment. She gave birth to the Savior. She gave birth to the greatest sacrifice that ever would be that we could not begin to do. Nothing we could do would equal the sacrifice that would cleanse us from sins the way the Savior was coming. And she calmed herself and she became set in the manner. And as we start looking toward December 25th, off in the distance, we start to understand what salvation was. It's the point we reached toward. It's the point that we were coming to. Brian Harbour, in his book, The Minister's Manual, wrote this. Let's just pause for a moment and look off into the distance. When Pope Julius I authorized December 25 to be celebrated as the birthday of Jesus in AD 353, who would ever have thought it would become what it is today? When Professor Charles Follen lit candles on the first Christmas tree in America in 1832, who would have ever thought that the decorations would have become as elaborate as they are today? It is a long time since 1832, longer still from 353, longer still from the dark night brightened by a special star in which Jesus the King was born. And yet, as we approach December 25th again, it gives us yet another opportunity to pause, to look off into the distance. In the midst of all the excitement and elaborate decorations and expensive commercialization which surround Christmas today, to consider again the event of Christmas and the person whose birth we are going to celebrate, and our salvation. Amen. We look off into a short distance. Some people see it as, got to hurry up and get the shopping done. I got to tell you, I am not very good at shopping. I don't handle this stuff well. We went to a store on Saturday, and all I had to do was just be in the store. I didn't have to shop for anything, so I wandered around the store, and I would go down the aisle, and I'd be walking along, and all of a sudden somebody would come in this way on the aisle, and they would block the aisle up, and I'd be like, well, I'll just get it. And then somebody would be that way. And there I was, trapped in an aisle of dish soap. And then I went to the next aisle over, hand linens, because I was just wandering around the store. I got trapped there. And everywhere I went, finally I found my wife, and I walked up to her and I said, can I just go out and sit in the truck, please? No, we're doing this together. Yay! We forget that off in a short distance, we celebrate the birth of that which was given to us as the greatest gift ever. Christ was content with the stable when he was born so that we could have a mansion when we die. That's what we look off toward in the distance. That's what we think about as we start to open up Christmas celebrations. That's salvation. That's the beginning. That's what Mary said. And what did she say afterward? I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Brothers and sisters, that's our encouragement. That we live in the flesh now, but we are free. That we are living right now in a world of sin, and sometimes it's hard for us to see what the end means. And this season, this moment, this time here on December 21st, knowing what's coming, we can lift our hearts up again and celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, the birth of salvation for all, the birth of freedom. I, for one, being as I know who I used to be, am more than thankful of what is just off in the distance. Amen. Brother Fred, would you please come have our closed prayer, please?
Let us pray. Lord God, we do thank you for the promises of your word. We thank you for the fulfillment. We thank you for your word that says that all the promises of God in Christ are in him, yea and amen, unto the glory of God by us. We thank you, Lord, that even as you brought forth the promised Messiah, came into this world, lived a perfect life, died on the cross not for anything that he had done wrong, but for our sins, was buried, rose again from the grave, ascended into heaven at the right hand of God the Father, that he is coming again. And we pray, Lord, that as we look off into the distance to that event, whether it be near or far, that we would be found ready, that we would be found faithful, that even as the Virgin Mary said so long ago, that we would be your servants, your handmaids, that we would be able to say, "Behold, the servant of the Lord." We thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises and for the fulfillment of those promises. Help us, Lord, even as you are faithful to us and so good, so holy. Help us, Lord, that we might, by your Spirit within us, be faithful to you. By your power, by your strength, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. It is December 1st, and before we open up for the altar call, I'd like to say two words to you. Merry Christmas. As we sing this last hymn, which is number 79, My Jesus, I Love Thee, I would invite you to come forward if you have a particular need to pray. If you need me to, I'll pray with you. I'm sure Brother Fred will help out. And if you just need to come up here and pray, just do it. But I ask you, don't leave home without it. Hymn number 79, would you please stand? My Jesus, I Love Thee.